Bring you greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. We look at God's word this morning. That's what he's saying to us, things that he said. Today we are looking to call a laborer, a leader, to build his church. And blessings to all of you as you think of what God has for us here. I want to look at a bygone brother that's been dear to us in many ways. You can turn to Acts 20. Paul has a lot to say, and on his way to Jerusalem, he stopped at Melita and called the brotherhood together and delivered a notable farewell address to the Ephesian elders. And so we find it, why are we looking at a farewell address? But we are looking at that. Sensing the Lord's calling to this in light of we need to end well. And so we are looking at that. In 1 John, or John 1, 6, he says, there was a man sent from God. And we're looking for a man. We're not looking for a supernatural man. We're looking a man endowed with the Spirit of God. Today, we are looking for a minister, a man that will shepherd the flock here. A quote gets made here in Acts after a while. I have finished my course with joy. And I want to bless you all here at Waterworks. I've been blessed to hear nuggets and comments about you. They're good. And about the work here from a number of friends and fellow ministry. And you're here and you're a light to the community that only you can be. And a light for Jesus Christ, and that his kingdom will be built. And it's just very important. Each one of you has a very important part in this. Today we need to start right and do right, and so that we can finish right. And Paul's making his finish right here. So what did he do? And so I think it's wise here. The message here is you have looked for a person today to do God's work. In Acts 20, in fact, while you're looking at that, Acts 20, 19, I was intrigued by the Sunday school headline starting there. God still calls, speaking to us this morning, God still calls people who, like Gideon, come from unlikely situations and realize their inadequacy. When we do his will, God lets us know that he is in control and he will show us his way. There it is. And then the focus is to concern for God's people and allow the Lord to use us to help them and bless them. We ought to all step up to that one. However, we're looking for a special call this morning. And I think I'll read verse by verse here as we go rather than read the whole passage in Acts 20, verse 19, is very dear and sweet. These words are just, as I was studying, I just feel like they're talking to us here. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. A servant leader is one that has got to step forward with a lot of humility. Sometimes, you know, oh, he's going to preach. That's pretty humbling, let me tell you. It's really humbling when God calls to shepherd the flock. That call is also a servanthood. When adversity comes, he's talking here that the Lord, when the adversity comes, the Lord is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we're just a servant to him. And I say just a servant. That's not a good word, is it? We are a servant to him. And We're subordinated under him, and that's the call that he has for a servant leader. It was 2021, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The call here is for the brother to be called to preach the gospel. And the gospel is so powerful, and the message is powerful. I'd just like to look at a few scriptures in regards to the message. The message is needs to proclaim God's word. Sometimes people, and I don't quibble with this, but I do because and I don't go much further with, but here in public, I want to share the word with you. Well, that's okay, but really, because of what it is and that we can do it with authority, I want to proclaim the word. We can proclaim it, and we don't have to backpedal or soft pedal. The message is to be complete, is complete, is all set to go. John 3:14, I'd like to read a few verses here. Very simple, but this is the message. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's the message. And we have that to bring to mankind. And I think maybe I was hearing a little bit about messages here over the past. I believe Jim's walking through Timothy and would have looked at some of that, looked a little bit more at the person, maybe. But this morning, a little more looking at the message. And the other message is also in John 1. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, this is a fact, this is how it is. And we have that again for the message. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and life was the light of all men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. So that's the message. We're not God, but we have the light that is from God, and that's my call to the man that is called to this work, is that with all authority, you have this message from the beginning, God. And that's a move ahead. We stand on that. That's why we say, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. So awesome. This should make your chills go up your back when you think about what we're saying. An almighty God. Behold the Lamb. I'm not sure about you, but on a morning like this, when we see God taking, if we think back just a little bit or a little bit ahead, these trees out there are going to be just look like dead trees and sticks and all this. And the beautiful green leaves come on, and then the beauty, majestic colors of it. Who could do something like that but a God? But beyond that, he also shakes and transforms the heart of man. And you have that message. Verse 22 through 24. And now behold, I go bound in spirit and to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witness to every city, saying the bonds and afflictions. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. There's just so much being said here. Be sure that hard times will come. The storm clouds will come. However, God is in those storms and sees us through. We sometimes can go either way. This is wonderful. But then when the storms come, God will see us through. Dark clouds, but God will see us through. God is the one that holds our hand and sees us through. He makes the comment here, I've finished my course with joy, even in the middle of the storms and hardship. But it's joy because of staying in the Word. Says the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace. We have an answer, a light in a dark world. I just want to encourage all of us, for that matter, just be careful of the books we read. I'm not the greatest reader, but I know enough about that there are some books that are very impressive looking, and titles even, and yet they are not solid. We need to stay in the gospel and then work away from there. And that needs to be the root of our message and our whole being, what we have. I just, looking here again, and now I behold you, the troubles. He's saying that he's really dying to self. He said, I don't know, the trouble might come, but I'm dying to self, and that's so important that we die to self. If we're not dying to self, one of the biggest enemies is self-centeredness. And to believe that you are the one that has to be nurtured or taken care of, and that's the devil is making us. In the end times, it's going to be worse and worse, and we are living there when self-centeredness is so prevalent. As the scripture there later is, refers to 17 sins, and the first of the 17 sins is listed, men will be lovers of self. We're living in that time on every hand, but we have a message, and that is to die and God be the one that is interested in us and interested in taking care of us. 25, and now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Paul's doing a farewell here. And wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. The reason he is free from the blood of all men is because he used the solid word of God. And the call again is that the pastor, the shepherd, needs to have the place to go, a place of anchor, of shepherd taking to God. We're a link in time, and we on the chain of time. And only as strong as we are to having God being the anchor is as strong as the church is. And the church needs to have strong believers taking that story of the gospel to heart. And that's, we're looking for a man to do that. Verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's so much to be said here, realizing that he's saying the message, he has nothing to reserve. He takes it at what it is. Ezekiel, I didn't spend a lot of time there, but Ezekiel says that blood is on the hands of the proclaimer if He doesn't proclaim the word, but if he does, he is free. And that's the call that is here this morning. Note to be sure that God is his church. It refers so clearly here that it's his church, and we are called to his work. It's not my work, it's God's work, and the call is there. And he has purchased. We talk about that. It's Jim's church and Steve's church, and you know, but we are really identifying kind of the group. But really, the ultimate is his, and to realize that he purchased it with his own blood. God is giving you the overseer to be with his church. Our relationship with God is so important that we are giving that. Look at it again. I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We're finding ourselves in the church level, if the pastor is true, but we're out there. We're living in a time that is very unique, and we're living in a time where we have all kinds of beliefs and thoughts and ungodly, unthought of beliefs and activity. And so it feels so foreign to us. And we may at that point not pull back. We have to, this is how it is. You know, a case in point is marriage. You know, marriage, your husband, wife, that's marriage, that's God. People talk about, well, two men got married. And I refute that. That there's nothing like that. That's not marriage. That's a God made, and I'm standing on God's way. And so we will meet up where we have to declare the whole gospel without a question. And as a leader, you will be called to help your people as a pastor to show them the whole gospel is the message that we have from the Bible. And so it is. Thought I wanted another come in here. It's 28. Yeah, who's calling you to being the overseer? I have a lot of friends out there, and there's a few particular ones that they just have trouble. They have an intern pastor right now, and they're looking for another pastor, and they talk about their dilemma. And so, of course, I get my chance to say my thing and how we do it. And just recently, I was trying to explain to an individual how that. Do they choose to go to seminary, or how? What do they? No. God does a calling. Well, you mean they're kind of uneducated? No. They are educated because they have the word. And we do a special available further schooling here and there is available, but they are called by God. And this morning, the congregation is being so part of God's hand as they are taking the steps over this time of calling that person. It is not somebody to step forward. It would be my opportunity to be a pastor and give you leadership. Because leaders, you know, are supposed to be heroes. Well, they're servants. They really are. And we open ourselves up, and God will do the calling. So when times are stormy, just remember that God called you to this. Verse 29, for I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Again, are we living in that time? And Paul is saying that this is going to go on. This is what I lived with, but this is going to go on. And that's what we have to meet. Second Timothy, I just like to read a few verses. There's 2 Timothy 3:1-7. This is the times that this pastor is going to be stepping into. This know also that in the last days, I referred to this earlier, shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from those turn away. And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, "You're gonna run into these kinds of things. Don't be surprised." And Satan is so brutal. He is so brutal, but he's so deceptive. Never believe that a pastor is kind of above that. If you reflect just for a moment with me, Satan took on Adam. He took on Joseph. He took on Noah. He took on Saul, Samuel, Paul. He took on Jesus. That's how brutal he is. That's how disrespectful he is. And Paul is telling you, this kind of thing is going to come. And it's like a grievous wolves, he refers to. And need to pay attention. And even within, things are going to men, my people. There's people among us that can easily be reading wrong instructions, and those wrong instructions leading the shepherd will have his arms out lovingly and caring to help them in. And so when the shepherd has something to say, be sure that you listened. Times are bad, and I don't know if we have any Dutchmen here or not, but I still remember as a little boy, something to be said about what's happening out there in the world. I didn't know how big the world was when I was a little boy, but sometimes something's said about what happened. And I can see my dad, man, a few words, just kind of carefully and slowly say, well, wie lange, wie schlimmer. The longer, the worse it gets. Wie lange, wie schlimmer. And it rings in my mind when I think about a setting like this, Paul's saying, this is going to get real bad. And what would Dad think today? I was born in the mid-1900s, and so it was over that era of time that I remember Dad saying those things. And so the call is for us to realize that that's it. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. A powerful proclamation is made here. He's saying, now, this is what's at hand, and therefore watch and be aware of what's going on. He's also going on to tell us that there's weariness in this whole thing. There is weariness. There's hard times. But that's okay. We are on God, and God is on our side, so we can step and take those steps. There's something, a statement I want you to remember. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. This morning, whoever's been called, and each one of you is a member, I commend you to God. Jude has something. He says, unto him that is able. We are not able, but let me, without a shadow of a doubt, in your mind, that God is able. And that's who we resort to. I am not able, but he is able. The pastor will always have his door open. The phone can ring anytime. That's the weariness that he's talking about here just a bit. I will build you up. And the power of God is the one that sees us through. 33-35. I have coveted no man's silver and gold and apparel. He's saying that I'm not looking for money for this project, but I do believe that we are at a wonderful place where the congregation gives gifts of gestures, and we make our own tents, and we have our own work to do. But we need to pay attention to the work that God is laying on our hearts and maybe do some changes. But the world doesn't stop when a man is ordained. He only makes transitions. The servant leader comes out here in these verses. He blesses and is blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. 36-38. When he had spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all the words which he had spoke, that he should see his face, they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. I mean, if we start right and do right, it will end right. That it will be an embracing and a heartfelt longing to that relationship. I have an assignment for you. We don't have time to do it this morning, so you all know about homework. Read Colossians 3 on your time. It calls us to be committed to Him and give our all to Him. Then He calls us to unload those sins that are so easy to beset us. Then He calls to put on the right things. Then He calls us to love one another. He calls us to be a thankful people. And then He calls the marriage a beautiful picture. Husbands love wives. It's a beautiful picture. Colossians 3. If you're busy this afternoon, that's fine. There's another week ahead of you, Lord willing. And just take a look at that. So this morning I commend you to God. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. We all live that and know that from time to time. But our first and old nature thinks it's give me. And so now that I am ordained a minister, I kind of expect you to no, it's the other way around. A servant leader is now I'm so responsible for you and give myself to that. This morning, we're not looking for a great man. We are looking for a man to tell of God's greatness. I remember ordination in 1988. My father passed away the following day after I was ordained. And my Springville past friends and then the leadership there rallied around me in a way that I learned a real lesson. And they related things that my dad would say. My dad was ordained before I was born in 1948. And one of the things that I'll just never forget, I was feeling wobbly at that time, just ordained. My dad passed away, and the whole world looked, and a couple of brothers mentioned it, that my dad would often say that we're not looking for a great man, we're just looking for a man to tell of God's greatness, and that you can do. That I commend to you. We need to, first of all, as a pastor, as a shepherd, we need to love our people. This speaks to a father as well as a shepherd. We need to love our people. And then we need to listen to our people. We need to know the heartbeat. And when we do those two things, then we can lead our people. And dads, that's in the home as well. And children will know whether they're loved or not. Our church family will know whether they're loved or not. And they will know that they're heard. And you know the Bible speaks of that. Love all, woven all through the Bible. And God calls for a man to call on Him in prayer. He wants to listen to what's said. But then without a shadow of a doubt, unchanging authority, he leads us. And when that's the case, there's a sense of peace. I encourage you as a fellowship here to be a lovers of one another. The passage we read will be lovers of self, and that's a destructive and a destroyer of mankind. And so purpose in your heart. Now we believe this pastor ought to do this, but I encourage the congregation here to do this. We're not going to turn to Ephesians, but Ephesians, a number of places, it says edify. And in one point it says edify that they minister, may administer grace to the hearer. And I encourage you to be an edifier. It's been a number of years I was so pricked by God in this whole area that I have so committed to be a person that is edifying and edifies others. And when you do that, there's a sense of God's accomplishment in our heart. We don't do it for us, but we do it for others. And just for a moment, think about the time someone edified you. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about edifying and encourage. I was encouraged by being here this morning, long before I got up. Just the brotherhood and realizing in this waterworks area, and here a number of weeks we were here, we went out to the park, and realizing that they're here like never before, there's a light here that's ours to hold bright and shining. Dear Heavenly Father, we just commend this work to you. We ask that you would guide each step of the way as we go a pathway we've never been before. Show us a way. And we ask, so call on you to be with us for such a time as this, that your name would be glorified and your work and your kingdom would be expanded. We just commend this work to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.